Today we are joined by Elizabeth from Trek Sierra in Mammoth, California. We were introduced to Elizabeth by our outdoor guide Ben. We went on a canyoneering trip in Tucson, and Ben was like, "You got to talk to my friend Elizabeth. She's starting some really cool stuff in Mammoth." And I'm so stoked that we got to connect Elizabeth and have you as part of the Trip Outside platform. And thank you for joining me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And thanks to Ben for introducing us. And he's an excellent guide. I have a great time working with him. So
Yeah, he's
thanks, Ben.
awesome. So you're in Mammoth, California. How did you end up there? Are you from the area? Tell us a bit about where you're from and how you got into the outdoor industry.
Wow, yeah. So no, not from California at all. Currently in Mammoth Lakes, but I'm originally from New Jersey. I started sport climbing and backpacking in my early 20s when I was living on the East Coast. And then I took my first international climbing trip when I was 24 or 25 and completely fell in love with the outdoor climbing community. I actually, that trip was to Mexico for I think like 2 weeks. And I ended up staying in Mexico after that for 5 or 6 months. And from there, I moved to a climbing community in the Red River Gorge of Kentucky, where I lived and worked for a few years. And then I spent a few years climbing and backpacking internationally in places like Australia, Southeast Asia, Europe. And after all that, I decided to make Mammoth Lakes my permanent home. I was at the time kind of bouncing back and forth between the East Coast and the West Coast in the winter, skiing and snowboarding out here and then climbing out east. And then, when I decided to buckle down and make Mammoth my home, I started taking AMGA courses and started guiding for a mountaineering company called Sierra Mountaineering International, which I still run trips for. But I wanted to make changes in the guide industry where I felt I could only do as an owner, and then Trek Sierra was born.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, you told me a bit about the things that you're doing in the industry, and I absolutely love them and the way you're approaching the business to changing it from the ground up for your guides. I'd love to learn a bit more about what are some of those things that make it unique for both the customer and for your guides that you're doing differently at Trek Sierra and why you decided to start the company.
Yeah, so Trek Sierra, there's a few really different aspects to Trek Sierra. It's definitely more of like a premium service that allows guests to kind of either come in and learn or just be taken care of with, so they can be out with their families and not have to worry about setting up camp and their rentals, people coming in from out of state. But some of the biggest differences between Trek Sierra and some companies I've worked for or I still work for, is ultralight equipment. We're the only guide company that carries specifically ultralight equipment, even though I've been kind of shunned for using ultralight gear in a rental application because, it is more wear and tear on the equipment usually. But I have seen so many clients struggle under the weight of a heavy pack over the years and seen it affect their trip. So I decided I really wanted to push ultralight equipment for my clients. And then we also offer theme treks, which is something that no other guide company in the area does. We have a birthday theme where we actually cook a 3-layer birthday cake for you from scratch on a camp stove out there. We also have an art-based theme where we bring lightweight backcountry watercolor kits and the group can paint at camp while your guide is getting everything ready for you, dinner. And then we also have a stargazing theme as well. So those are some cool themes that you can add on to your trek. And we do custom training plans and coach support via a ISSA certified strength and conditioning coach. I really believe that, from the moment that a client books a trip, especially if it's something that's a longer trip, or, they're trying to do some peaks, some introductory peaks, being able to, keep that person on track and have that accountability with a coach, it really sets the clients up for the best chance of success. I've worked for some guide companies that they don't even want you to talk to the clients until the night before a trip. And I just don't agree with that. I understand that, guides can change, but I do believe that even if your guide for your trip does change, having that kind of personal connection and help with training for the objective, in the months leading up to that makes a huge difference in your trip.
Yeah, I agree completely. And I wish I had that service, or I wish I would have offered that service to some of my friends. And we took a mountain biking trip for my bachelor party.
Yeah,
And
that's a good one. A mountain biking trip. Nice.
we were not on the same fitness scale. All of us were, there was a big variability there. So it was, definitely difficult for some. Although in the end, it was all super fun for everyone.
You're
We
always
take it
going to
on.
have different levels of fitness when you're on, a group trip. But that's another thing that's kind of special to Trek Sierra is that we don't put random groups of people together. So it's always a quote unquote private trip. Now we do have a private rate for if you're just one person, but when you book a trip with us, say you have three people, you have three people on that trip. We're not putting another three people or another family together with you. We do run specific trips that are, like women specific trips, or if you're over 60, where we get, it's advertised as, anybody can come to this. We're kind of trying to do a little meet and greet aspect to that trip. But for the most part, when you book a trip with Trek Sierra, it's only your group on it.
Awesome. And then you have so many different options for trips, but what are some of the places you guide? What are some unique things or things that you love about the places you guide, the hikes, the tracks that you lead people to? If you can give us some highlights. I'm personally stoked to come out there and start trying those and hopefully get out with you.
Well, we offer trips from Whitney to Yosemite currently, although we are hoping to expand in the next few years to other states. But right now, some of our most popular treks are like the stretches of the John Muir Trail from Mammoth to Yosemite. That's a really popular one. We also do what's called the 12 Lakes Tour, which takes you from the town of Mammoth Lakes to the town of June Lake. And that takes you through 12 incredible alpine lakes. And that trip is 4 days. And I think the biggest day is actually the first day, and the rest of the days are kind of easier after that. So that's really one of our kind of intermediate ones to get into. And then we also have the Yosemite Summit Trek. That's a really popular one that goes up Half Dome and Clouds Rest. And we offer some treks to dip people's toes into introductory summits, such as like Red Slate is one of them. That's a 13er where you don't need any climbing equipment or anything like that, but it is, cross-country travel, a little bit of hands down scrambling, but not really exposed. So you definitely want, a guide if that's your first time going off trail to keep you out of the danger zone on those type of things.
Awesome. And that's such an incredible area. Like, you could spend years just between the places that you mentioned and not hit everything. So
Oh
there's so
yeah.
much to explore there.
And there are a couple different routes that I've actually that are some of my like personal favorite loops that I've put together over the years that I'm actually advertising. So there's, the popular ones, the Yosemite, the Whitney, and then there's, some other ones like the Pioneers Trek is a trip that's from 5 to 7 days, and that kind of loops you through some different parts of the Sierra that aren't usually advertised, and also give you an opportunity to summit one or two peaks as well.
So within Yosemite, so you go into the national park from the eastern side. And what are some of your favorite hikes or treks within Yosemite National Park?
I think my favorite one overall is the Grand Canyon of Tuolumne. That
Okay.
one, it's beautiful. It takes about 4 to 5 days, depending, on your group size and your fitness level. But that it is sort of like a Grand Canyon down there, and you hike down into the Grand Canyon and then you hike out a few days later. But those 2 or 3 days in between, you're hiking just along the Tuolumne River, and there's swimming holes and crystal clear water, and it's just absolutely gorgeous. That's probably my favorite one in Yosemite for sure.
Sounds incredible. It seems like it's off the beaten path where you're probably not seeing the typical large Yosemite crowds and
Yeah, that one is, it definitely doesn't fill up the way that, Half Dome and Clouds Rest does, and the Grand Canyon of Tuolumne, it is kind of a point to point, so you need to do a little shuttle in between, so that kind of deters people. But anytime I go on and look at permits, because I ch always try to jump on and kind of see which trailheads get filled up, the Grand Canyon one, it doesn't get filled as quickly as some of the others. And, with that extra little bit of solitude, it really creates, a great experience for the clients and myself.
Awesome. And then Mount Whitney, do you get to camp at the summit? So Mount Whitney, for those who don't know, is it the tallest mountain in the lower 48?
It
Is that right?
is. That is
Yeah.
correct.
And it's in California, north of Joshua Tree, a few hours north, up on Highway 395. What's included in that trip? So you get to summit the tallest peak along with the guided trip.
So there is a lot. Whitney is a very special, the Whitney Zone is very special. There are a couple ways to summit Whitney. There's rock climbing routes. There's the Mountaineers route, which I guide for Sierra Mountaineering International. And then as far as hiking goes, there's the hiker's route, which is 22 miles round trip, I believe. That is not allowed to be guided. You cannot hire a guide to do that. To do that 22-mile trail from the portal up and then back. But there is a backpacking route from farther back, kind of the backside. And that's about a 5 or 6 day trip. So you kind of go from the backside up Whitney, and then you come back almost the same way that you came in. So that is a longer trip, but that's the only way you can actually hire a guide to do it. But then, that route specifically, again, it's not as busy as the hiker's route, and it's a gorgeous section of trail in the Sierra. And there the camping sections are incredible. You get to camp at all these beautiful lakes. So it's definitely an amazing part of guiding is guiding Whitney in this area for sure.
Absolutely. And then being able to also take these routes that are not the most popular hiking routes, which is also great. And you're on these trips, you're setting up camp almost every night, or
We set up camp every night, and that's something that, our guides will set up camp for you. We can teach you how to, properly set up camp and fortify your shelter and all that if you want to learn. But if you're just there, like, hey, I'm here with my husband and my two kids, and I don't want, I just want to kind of be back here and enjoy the atmosphere. It's a great way having a guide there. We take care of setting up camp. We cook all the meals, and these are like 4-course meals that we're setting up. No freeze dried. It's all usually fresh food, or fresh food made from different scratch items. I mean, we've made French toast and bacon back there,
Wow.
burritos, all brownies, all sorts of things. So that's actually one of my favorite parts about guiding these trips is introducing really good food to people that usually go out backpacking and they have a backpacker's meal that they just add water to.
And I know that feeling because we just took a 5-day mountain biking trip in the maze that was guided, and we typically don't do a lot of guided trips, but we got spoiled over like 5 days. It felt like you just got to mountain bike all day, and then you had amazing food cooked for you, not eating backpacking meals. Not that there's anything wrong with those,
No, nothing
but it
wrong
was
with them.
incredible. It was such a great experience because you didn't have to spend all this time cooking. You could just like sit back and enjoy the nature and the beauty of things that were around you.
Absolutely. And people, they kind of when they think of a guide going out and cooking for you, they don't really think much of it, but it's usually about 4 to 6 hours for a group, like that's 4 or 5 people. It's usually about 4 to 6 hours of cooking each day between breakfast and dinner. And that's with like, cleaning up and breaking down camp, and it is a lot of camp work that your family or you just don't have to worry about when you go out with a guide. So there's definitely the pluses to going out with a guide and handling all those logistics.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great that you get to learn too. It's not like, you do have the chance to do yourself an actually good intro to backpacking in a way if you wanted to use
Yeah,
that.
absolutely. And all of our guides are AMGA trained. We're all wilderness first responders, so we can handle a lot of instruction because we have learned a lot ourselves. And I
Yeah.
really do think that that's what guiding is. It's just a circle of mentorship. And that's why I wanted to become a guide. I wanted to mentor others the way others have mentored me. And there's just things that you can't just learn from YouTube videos when you're out in the backcountry.
Yeah, you got to get out there, spend time together, connect at a human level. And that's, yeah, it's the best way. So, what's the time window? I know You can get a ton of snow in the mountains. When do you start leading trips, and how long does the season typically go? What are your what are the best
For
times of year?
backpacking, for mountaineering, we start, I mean, we're doing mountaineering trips right now. I'm not myself, but we can, for mountaineering trips, we start really early. But for backpacking, for Trek Sierra specifically, June through October is our season, and the best months are definitely July and August for backpacking. And it really just depends on the snow levels and how much snow we've gotten over the winter. Last year was the most snow recorded in history in the Sierra, and there really wasn't a backpacking season until August, just because the snow was not melted out. This year it's not looking to be anywhere near the same, and we're probably going to be starting to run trips in June, some lower elevation trips. But I always tell people July and early August are definitely the best as far as, if you're doing a lot of travel to get here, you won't have to worry in those months. You usually don't have to worry about the snow. And then you also don't usually have to worry about fires until usually September. If it is this low snow year, that's kind of the flip side of that. If it's a low snow year, we have more fire risk in the later season, which is September. And if it's a high snow year, we just can't start trips until later in the season. So I usually tell people July and August are the safest bets for sure.
Okay, cool. And then you do have, a huge variable list of tours you could do, but fitness level wise, is it for, beginners? Do you have to be an advanced hiker in order to join one of your trips? Like, how do you think about fitness level and helping people pick the right trip?
Yeah, fitness level is an interesting one for sure. I would love to say, oh, you don't need any fitness at all, or yeah, you have to be super fit. Honestly, it's somewhere in between those two. Depending on how many days of the trip and its objectives, a 2-day trip, I mean, I've gotten plenty out of seemingly out of shape clients to the Summit of Whitney. And I've also had very fit athletes get altitude sickness and have to leave the trail early.
Right.
So, I mean, overall, a shorter 2-day trip will certainly take less physical preparation than, say, one of our 4 or 5 day trips with a summit attempt. What I will say is that starting this summer, Trek Sierra is offering custom training plans based on your level of fitness and those bi-weekly Zoom meetings for coach support. Because, like I said, that just sets up our clients for the best chance of success. And, just that accountability really helps, I think. And that's all free. That comes with a booking as long as you're booking 2 months or more out
Oh,
from
that's awesome.
your trek.
That's super cool.
But yeah, usually somewhere in between, like I said, like a beginner, we do have treks that are definitely less strenuous for someone that's just beginning backpacking. But I wouldn't say it's like, oh, I haven't left the couch in 3 years and I'm going to go attempt this kind of thing. Like, you're still at altitude. We still cover elevation each day. And on those easier treks, it could be 1,000 feet up to 2,000 feet of elevation gain in a single day. But we are really good about taking breaks, usually every hour, giving everyone a 10-minute break to drink water, eat food, change their layers, anything like that. And that's just kind of a guide's pace, is just that slow and steady. We don't try to push through and get to camp in 3 hours or anything. We really kind of make sure that everyone's, especially because most people in the group, there's less experienced, more experienced, less fit, more fit. So we kind of just even it out, because we don't want anyone that's less fit to be struggling to keep up or burning themselves out.
Well, that's great, but having private trips probably really helps, where you know what
Yes.
you're getting into with your group. You know your group already, so
Yep.
you've hopefully
100%.
worked through a lot of that in advance.
Yeah.
So let's talk a bit. I'm actually interested in your lifestyle living in Mammoth. What are some of the outdoor activities you like to do while you're living there, summer, winter? Give us all of it.
Yeah, so it's winter here now. We've got snow on the ground. Usually during the winter, I kind of go back and forth between doing weight training in the gym to kind of prepare my knees for the summer. That's super crucial for me. Because the one of the biggest things lessons I learned when I moved out here is the rockiness of the Sierra can really get to your legs and your knees if you don't train properly. So you really need to train those knee stabilizer muscles and everything that goes along with, being in the mountains out here, because it's all unilateral motions. You're doing things one leg at a time. So It's not as simple as people coming in and being like, oh, I squat and deadlift at the gym. It's like, well, how good's your balance on one foot with on like
Right.
loose rocks, you know? So I'll usually be in the gym during the winter, and then the other half of the time I'll be snowboarding or touring in the backcountry. Now, as soon as we start transitioning into spring, I usually start running. I'm a runner. I started getting into ultra running a few years ago, and I actually have some races set up for this fall, actually, that I'm pretty excited about. But really, Mammoth Lakes is, and just this area in general, is like the mecca for outdoor recreation. You know, I was a climber first and foremost when I moved here, and I still, you know, do more technical rock climbing, but there's just my hobbies are so spread out now because there's so much to do here. You know, our ski resort turns into a downhill mountain biking park, which I'm a runner, not a biker, but all of my friends, you know, they're downhill mountain bikers, and they you know, love the resort in the summer, and there's tons of trails, single track trails for running, you know, trail running, mountain biking. And there's also a lot of leisurely activities here. You can drive up to a lot of the lakes here. You know, there's like Lake Mary and Horseshoe Lake you can drive right up to and spend the day at. And then we also have tons of festivals in the summer, like Reggae Fest and wine festivals and concerts. So living here is really it's amazing. I love it here. It's definitely was a it was a huge adjustment coming from the East Coast originally. Just, you know, the rocky, dry, arid environment compared to, you know, the humidity I was born in. But I definitely like you were saying, the Sierra, it's a lifetime of adventures. You can be here for three lifetimes and not even go halfway into the mountains here because there's just so much to cover for all ability levels. You can be an expert pro level climber or just someone starting to get into peak bagging, and there's just something here for everyone.
That's amazing. Yeah, adventure overload is real.
Yeah.
Having to choose all the amazing options every day
I
is
know.
a
It gets expensive, to be
it
honest.
gets very expensive. Right
Getting into
now
more and more hobbies becomes more and more expensive for sure.
right now we're trying to figure out, do we take on kiteboarding or ringing, or do we get a scuba dive instruction? It's, good problem to have.
Yeah, it
Well,
is.
I know we're talking a lot about getting people outdoors, and our common mission is shared about getting people outside and lowering the barriers, helping people find support, making it easier for them. But as we add more people to the backcountry, as we introduce more people through the process, I know you're Leave No Trace certified. Can you share some tips with you about issues you see in the backcountry with increased visitation, and how can we work towards recreating responsibly? And what are some common, quick, small things that you see out there that we could all do better to make sure that with our increased visitation, that we're not creating more problems and we can protect our outdoor spaces for a long time?
Yeah, I mean, practicing Leave No Trace is such a huge one. Definitely, you know, packing out all garbage and micro trash, and a lot of people don't realize that does mean your toilet paper. You know, a lot of people will try to bury their waste and then they'll just put their toilet paper on it, but you can't. It's so rocky out here. You can't dig too deep. Yeah, it takes a lot of work to get that hole. So to be honest, like when I'm in really, you know, kind of rocky environments, and this is mandatory in the Whitney zone, but even in other areas, I'll bring a wag bag and I'll hike my waist out. You know, it's something that we as guides on Whitney, we do all the time because we're so used to, you know, being back there. So it doesn't really freak us out anymore, but a lot of people do get freaked out by having to carry their waist around in the backcountry. But you know, I can't tell you how many times I've been back there, and you know, you're in a rocky section taking a break, and there's toilet paper and poop under the rocks and everything, and you know, all of that. It just goes a long way to get that out of the backcountry. The Sierra is a delicate environment here. Everything takes longer to grow at these elevations, so not trampling plants and throwing your backpack down on, you know, whatever shrubs that are there. And honestly, there are some Leave No Trace practices I wasn't even aware of until I became a guide. So traveling in the backcountry with a guide can drastically increase your knowledge of proper LNT practices. Like I have guides or clients a lot of the times. They have, their dinner bowl, and they want to rinse it out in the water, even without using, any soap or anything like that. We don't want people's food particles to be put into the water. So we tell people to put a little water in your bowl, kind of wipe it out and flick it somewhere in the brush, or so dispose of it instead of putting it directly in the water. Do you get what I'm saying? It's a
No,
hard.
there's so many small details about how to get rid of gray water and digging the proper hole and understanding. And I think that's a huge value that if you're not familiar with backpacking in the wilderness, take a guided trip, take a short one. Or, go through a process to understand that before you find yourself either overwhelmed by having to, make those decisions and knowing what the right thing is, or yeah, definitely take Leave No Trace training. We leave a link to that in this podcast and show notes, but it's easily available on our website. But yeah, thanks for sharing those.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, when you're with a guide, we're your mentors, so we're there to help teach you. And it taking advantage of that when you're on a guided trip. Like I said, some people don't really want to learn kind of all of the little details, and some people are out there because they're preparing for something bigger, and they are preparing for something. Maybe they want next summer to do the John Muir Trail by themselves or something like that. So that's always something to keep in mind. And I always try to keep in mind with my clients is, what are your objectives back here? Are you here to learn as much as you can? Are you here to relax with your group as much as you can? So that also goes a long way. And as far as, Leave No Trace goes, you can learn a lot from your guides, especially those little things that people don't normally think of. But yeah, there's definitely a lot of impact out there as the trails get busier. And I think that especially with wag bags, like packing your human waste out, that is going to become more mandatory in the years to come in a lot of different
Absolutely.
areas in the Sierra. They have already been talking about certain areas and introducing wag bag regulations there.
It's really not that bad. Get used to it at home, people. Just
Yeah, it's not, it's
put
really
it in
not
a
that
toilet.
bad,
Just start using. If we could do it for our dogs, we could do it for ourselves.
Yeah, we have a really funny demo that we like to give people. Not a live demo, of course, but
Well, awesome. Elizabeth, one last thing is you're spending so much time in the wilderness. You're going out in the wild. Obviously, you're, made a whole life out of it. What is personally for you, what is the impact that it has on your life being in the outdoors? What do you love about trekking and camping in the wilderness and being outdoors?
There's a lot. There's definitely a lot. I think the simplicity of it, everything sort of slows down in the backcountry. All the noise going on in your normal day-to-day life just kind of falls away, and you're just focused on the task at hand. And, those simple tasks that you kind of take for granted when you're in the front country in your own home, like washing your underwear, washing your dishes, or setting up your shelter, things like that. They teach you a lot. The mountains have taught me more about myself than I think anything else in life. I mean, apart from my mother, don't
We
can't
want some of this to her.
sugarcoat it. Yeah. But even just being in the mountains, you don't have to be necessarily climbing a mountain, but just being there just teaches you a lot about your limitations, how you can handle adversity, and how to improve on those things mentally as well as physically. And the views aren't bad either,
Right. Yeah. And the views, and then being able to adapt, and on top of all that, nature can be different every single day. So being able to
Yeah,
work
absolutely.
through
I mean,
all that.
you get weather coming in, you might have to change your route a little bit. Just how to deal with things when they're wet. That is one of the biggest things that you'll learn when you spend a lot of time on trail, is just how to keep yourself dry, your systems, your layering systems, and just kind of taking in little things, of course, that you kind of rush by in your day-to-day life, like critters coming into your camp and just being curious that you're there, and things will make you smile a little bit more when you experience them after 3 days of hiking in the wilderness than they would normally just getting home from work, I guess.
Well, I absolutely agree on all those, and it's so great to share that with you. And thank you for sharing that personal side of your passion for the outdoors. Absolutely love what you're doing with Trek Sierra, helping people get outdoors, helping people get out safely, comfortably, and have a great time while they're out there with all of your packages and special things that you do to make it more fun, easy, and safe for everyone to get outside.
Oh,
Is there anything that you'd like to add that I missed?
yeah, you just reminded me of something. So one of the new services that we're actually offering is the thru hiking service. It's a JMT slash thru hiking support package. So a lot of guide companies will offer portering for, people if they need a resupply drop off when they're doing a thru hike. Just so people know, you are legally not allowed to just hire anyone to do that. You have to have a commercial use authorization permit to be able to porter into the backcountry because you're technically doing business on, on that land. But what we're offering at Trek Sierra now is kind of a more extensive thru hiking support package. So it does include a porter for your resupply, but it also includes your custom itinerary for how long that you're doing the trip with, custom daily maps and elevation profiles. Another service is meal preparation. So we'll actually shop for you and put together your meals and separate them by day for your resupply. And also rentals. We're also offering rentals for people that are maybe coming in out of state or they're flying in from out of the country and want to do this trek, but they don't have all those top of the line, equipment, and they're looking to rent for longer, extensive periods of time. We're having a daily rate for our rentals, just for that service. So that's something
Fun.
new that we're doing this year, and we've already gotten a ton of inquiries as far as itineraries and order resupplies. So that is a good one that we are starting this year. I'm pretty excited about it.
Yeah, that's incredible. So you can hike the John Muir Trail, get full beta on where you can camp, what parts, and then also on top of that, get support. And you can get all these individually or the whole package, I assume.
Exactly. Yeah.
Awesome. That's huge. That's a great thing that you're offering.
Yeah, and then one last thing I'd like to mention that we're trying to raise awareness of is just the guide industry pay standard. So, in my experience and from guides that I know all across the country, guides are definitely underpaid for the amount of work that they do. If you look at the work that a guide is doing, and especially putting themselves in the elements and daily hazards and having everyone's safety on them. If you break down a 24-hour day, because guides don't clock out, I've had to wake up in the middle of the night and hike a client out because they had altitude sickness. But just for everything that guides subject themselves to and how hard they work throughout the day, most guides make less than minimum wage just on a daily rate, but that daily rate is covered for the whole 24-hour period that they need to work. So what we at Trek Sierra are trying to do is raise the daily rates to well above the industry standard and not raise our trip prices because of that as well. So I think that I'm hoping that it's, just one piece of the puzzle, because, guides are being forced to take more AMGA courses now as of 2022. It's becoming more mandatory for guides to have AMGA certifications in the field that they guide, which, you're going to be hard pressed to find anyone object to that. It's something good, and we're excited about that. But there's also no financial help on the other end. There's no scholarships, and each of these courses costs $5,000 to $10,000 out of pocket for these guides. So trying to raise the pay standard in the industry is something that is one of the things I'm set out to do as an owner of Trek Sierra.
That is amazing. And thank you so much for remembering to bring that up and ensuring that it's such incredible hard work. And you're not getting insurance benefits most of the times. You're not
No.
getting 401ks. This is really difficult
No.
physical work and mental preparation and communication. You're dealing with different personalities and the amount of, like I said, investment that you have to put in to be able to do this work.
Yeah,
It's
most
very
people train
extensive.
for years, decades to be able to guide in certain terrain. And you're right, when people are stressed out in the mountains, they're tired, they're hungry, you're dealing with all sorts of personalities, some good, some bad, but you have to kind of be the calm composure of the group. So it is a lot of work, and most guides in the industry make anywhere from $125 a day to $250 a day, but even taking out 8 hours of sleep, which is not guaranteed ever, you're still, that's still minimum, less than minimum wage in California.
Yeah.
So
And it's
there are a lot
seasonal,
of,
so you're not able to work all
exactly.
year. It's weather
Yep.
dependent.
And like you said, no benefits, no health insurance, you know, that no 401k. This is kind of, we're trying to move things in the right direction with guides,
Absolutely.
because I do think that guiding is still, especially since the big outdoor recreation boom of COVID, there's a lot of people going into the backcountry that don't have enough experience. And, you know, we're trying to keep people safe out there. And that's a huge weight on people. You know, our guides are, you know, very trained and have committed their entire lives to keeping people safe in the backcountry. But, you know, it comes at a cost for sure.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I absolutely love that. And your investment, again, one more thing you're doing to change the industry. And it's great to see new companies and new owners come in with a fresh look and start businesses in the outdoor industry. Thank you so much for joining me today, Elizabeth. It's been a pleasure to meet you and get to know you over the past few months. And we're stoked to partner with you at Trip Outside and collectively get more people outside.
Great. Thank you so much, Reed.
All right. Thank you.